All right, he lives. He lives today. Now, what are you supposed to say?
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's do it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. I tell you, I'm glad that you got up this morning.
It's empty.
It's empty. Thank you, brother. There's always somebody else that wants to preach. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. I am so proud of you being here this morning on our sunrise service, and I know that you're here today because he lives in your heart. How do you know he lives? Because you've been born again. Amen? Amen. So it's so great to see you in God's house this morning. I know I'm going to say this at 11 o'clock service, but church, thank you so, so much for what you did this week for the rest of our family. I tell you, this church did shine this week. You really did. I mean, do you know we were prepared to seat 800 people here? That's amazing. And Jeff, man, he went all out. We had two overflows over here, two monitors so people could watch the service, and the church was full. And here's the main thing, and Bernie said he didn't know if he'd make it this morning. Faye's not here, but they're happy. I mean, they're happy with what everything you've done for them. They're very appreciative. So, you know, that means the world. And I just appreciate every one of you so much for doing what you did. Well, you may not know some history here, but this is the first time that Easter has been on April Fool's Day since 1956. So 61 years. It won't happen again, I think, now you can Google it, 2029. So here we are. This is a historic moment. So I've titled my message this morning, Easter Fools. Easter Fools. Now, the question is, have we been fooled? Because we're going to look at a scripture this morning. I hope you brought your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. You got your place?
No?
Once you get it, stand up with me, all right? 1 Corinthians 12. I mean 15, verse 12, okay? Chapter 15, verse 12. All right, if you don't have your Bible, look up on the screen. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then he is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you would anoint this place today, that we would not have church as usual today. I pray for your Holy Spirit now, God, to teach us. And I pray, God, that we would recognize just what Paul is saying here. Oh, what a thought if Christ be not risen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I want to deal with that question in 1 Corinthians 15, 14. If Christ be not risen. So I want you to pay close attention to what I'm trying to say this morning. Where is God? Where is God? The tomb is empty, as Mike said. The tomb is empty. So the question is, where is God? The cross is empty. You know, there are folks that still have Jesus hanging on the cross, but he's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. So the question is, where is he? What have they done with the body of the Lord? No fooling now. Where is God? Easter fools. John 20, 13, Mary said to the angel at the tomb, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Listen on down a few verses, verse 15. Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. An atheist professor stood before his class and said, if anyone can tell me where God is, I will give that person a $100 bill. One of his students stood up and spoke, sir, I will give you a $100 bill if you can tell me where God is not. God is present with all. He's present in time of trouble. We've been in a time of trouble this week in our church in the death of Michelle Restifo. He is right here in the midst of things. Psalm 46:5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Psalm 46:5 teaches us, it tells us that God knows how to get into things. He got into the fiery furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He got into the lion's den with Daniel. He got into the cradle when God became man. He got into man's sin problem when he died on the cross. He got into the grave so he could show us the way out of sin, death in the grave. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And of course, then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So let's look at this scripture this morning. Let's break it down. I want you to just think this thought for a moment. Are we the Easter fools this morning? I mean, think about it. We all got ready this morning, and we came to this sunrise service. But if Christ be not risen, you're dressed up for nothing. I mean, if Christ be not risen, think about the consequences of that. Number one, he says here in verse 14, I title this the fundamentalism. Fundamentalism would be foolish. He says, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Well, fundamentalism is that which upholds belief in a literal interpretation of Scripture. Unless the preacher can thunder forth in positive tones the vibrant message he lives, the life is gone from the message. The spark which initiates the fires of revival are dead, and the eternal hope of the centuries lie desolate. If Christ be not risen, then preaching becomes most foolish, unfruitful, useless, nonsensical. It's simple. It's embellished. It's useless. It just has no meaning whatsoever. If Christ be not risen, we've wasted a lot of ink to print the Word of God. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 15:4. This is the gospel that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. Without that, there is no gospel to preach. So what I want to do in breaking this down, I want to ask the question there, if Christ be not risen, with the answer in verse 20. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Here's my answer to the question. And I thought this was profound on this Easter Fool's Day, because I want you to think about what Paul wrote in the beginning of Corinthians. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead. So 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, listen carefully, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. The Jews were looking for signs. The Greeks were all about knowledge and wisdom and understanding. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to conform the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to conform the things which are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1:29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. What is God saying in His Word? Listen carefully. He's saying that God uses the foolish things to conform the wise. I mean, I'll tell you this morning, there is no joke here. This is serious business. If Christ be not risen, He's saying our preaching is vain. There's no reason to even preach. How foolish would it be, though, to believe that Christ is not risen? I can give you more reasons to believe than not to believe. Let's go on. Second of all, faith would be foolish. Are you with me in verse 14? Not only is our preaching in verse 14, he said, is in vain, but he says your faith is in vain. Faith is no better than the object. Why put your faith in a dead Messiah? A dead man can't save anyone. Our faith in Jesus Christ is worthless if he's still in the grave. Faith, the very breath of the Christian life. It would be fruitless indeed if Christ be not risen from the dead. The sea of the world would be rough indeed without faith in Him who is the rock of our salvation. But He is shown to be, in Romans 1:4, the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Confucius, he died and he's still dead. Buddha, he died and he's still dead. Muhammad, he died and he's still dead. Joseph Smith, he died and he's still dead. Pope after pope, they died and they're still dead. They are dead, but Jesus Christ lives. But if he's still in the grave, faith is foolish. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Well, let me tell you right quickly, we all are here today because of our faith. I've got faith. What about you? I know faith works. The faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. And I've got faith in a mountain-moving God. I've got faith, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Psalm 14:1, are y'all listening? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So I'll tell you, when it comes to Easter fools, I'll tell you who's fooled. The world's fooled. Anyone's fooled who says there is no God. Because of all the different gods, are y'all listening? Of all the different religions, there's only one who got up from a grave. Amen. And the evidence that he is risen is that there's an empty tomb. There's no one in there. There's nothing but, there's just dust. The cloths were laid there in an orderly way as to say that I'm not coming back here to this tomb. I've risen. I'm through. I've done everything the Father wanted me to do. And listen, I know, and I've been in the Mercy Hospital there in Charlotte many times, and it always bothered me. There's a cross in every room, and they have Jesus on the cross. Well, my cross is empty. Amen. Because Jesus is not on the cross. So the question is, where is He? If our preaching is vain, if Christ be not risen, and our faith would be foolish, then followers would be foolish. Look at verse 15. Yea, and ye have been found false witnesses of God. You're all fakes if you're following Christ. Paul is not saying we've mistaken. It's one thing to be mistaken. It's another thing to be a false witness. Paul asserts if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then we're all telling a big lie. Were the disciples liars? If so, why would they lie? The disciples openly exclaimed, listen, we have seen him, we have touched him, and they died as martyrs, and they were tortured, they were persecuted, they were burned at the stake, torn apart by lions. Hypocrites and martyrs are not made of the same stuff. People tell lies to get out of trouble, not to get into trouble. Few will die for what they know is a lie. Was Peter a con man? John the apostle, was he a crook? Was Paul a deceiver? If Christ is still in the grave, the disciples would be deceivers and all followers would have been fooled. But verse 20 again, but now is Christ risen from the dead. I would be foolish not to follow him. I like that old song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I'll still follow. I may look like a fool, but I'll be a fool going to heaven rather than a fool going to hell. Amen? Oh, my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the song says. No turning back, no turning back. Friday was a healing day for many of us, the C3s. Wasn't it Friday that we did the eggs? So we, Sherry and I and Bill and I don't know, Sarah, Rita, Jeff, we all went out there and we did our best to hide 1,200 to 1,500 eggs. Well, I knew that Michelle, because she had talked with me, and Michelle was always planning. She always had a plan. She said, Pastor, you hide the golden egg. And I hit it good. I did a good job. I hid it in a dead tree, in the hollow of a dead tree, and I put some bark in front of it. I thought, well, at night, because it was a griddle big egg, and it was gold, I thought, well, if somebody shines a light on it, they'll see it. But we were there before it really got dark, and nobody saw it. Dennis and Dawn Chambers, I don't know what the little girl's name is. Ava. Ava comes up to me. She's got her little light. She's got her little Easter bag there, her basket, and she says, Pastor Ronnie, I want to find that golden egg so bad. I'm going to follow you wherever you go because you know where the egg is. I thought, now that is a smart kid. She said, I'm going to follow you because you know where the golden egg is. Well, here's what I want to say to you. I'm going to follow Jesus because he knows where the streets of gold are. I'll tell you, he has it. He has a place prepared for those. And I'll tell you something. Michelle's walking all over those golden streets. Glory to God. We can shout in the face of death. Because our Redeemer lives, and I'm just going to follow him all the way into glory one day where the streets are paved with gold. And guess what? When I see Jesus, I'm going to see the golden egg. Amen. I'll tell you, I like it when that little girl said, you know where the golden egg is. You know what? That little girl was smarter. I mean, I bet we had close to 40, 50 people. She was smarter than all the people there. You know where the egg is, and I know where Jesus is. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me right now. He's praying for this service. I believe I will have a spell. If Christ be not risen, forgiveness would be foolish. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. God forbid the thought. What if you and I could not be forgiven? I'll tell you where we would all be. We'd be on our way to a devil's hell. There'd be no hope. There would be no forgiveness. I mean, you think about how he's forgiven you. Now, we're slow to forgive each other sometimes, but he's quick. The Bible says, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to cleanse you and to forgive you of all unrighteousness. We have a forgiving God. But what if Christ be not risen? You have no hope of forgiveness apart from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he is in the grave, then God did not accept the sacrifice of Calvary. How do we know that Jesus Christ is not just a religious fanatic with a martyr complex who happened to get crucified? How do we know God accepted the sacrifice of Calvary, the resurrection? There's no Savior. There's no forgiveness. His death without his resurrection cannot save anybody. Verse 20, let's go back to it. But now is Christ risen from the dead. 1 Peter 3:18, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his great abundant mercy have begotten us with a lively hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I love that old song, redeemed, how I love to reclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, his child and forever I am. I told Sherry the week, we were going down the road and she was listening to some music and this song came on that I love. I said, our church has got to learn that because I think of so many people in our church and what they've been through and their past and so on. The song is, I've Been Changed. And some of the words in it says, I've been changed. I've been healed. I've been freed. I've been delivered. I am forgiven. No more chains. My past is over. I've been changed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. and behold, all things become new. You know what? I have decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and thank God that I have received His forgiveness. Number four is forgiveness would be foolish, but it's not foolish because Jesus paid the ultimate price. He is our Redeemer, and our Redeemer lives. Say that with me. Our Redeemer lives. Say it again. Our Redeemer lives. And Paul said, because He lives, I live also. I am forgiven. Say that with me. I am forgiven. Oh, the devil don't want you to claim that one. Oh, we beat ourselves up and we don't forgive ourselves. But who do we think we are? Are we better than God? If God can forgive us, listen, why can't you forgive yourself? We beat ourselves up. And then last, and I'm almost done here, the fallen would be foolish. Easter fools. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Do you have a loved one who has died? If Jesus Christ be not raised, the Bible says, then they will perish. It is over. Life is nothing but a cruel joke. All we can look forward to is the downward spiral of the grave. No, something as glorious as human life has more meaning than that. Those fallen asleep in Christ has perished. But verse 20, but now is Christ raised from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ, He grappled with the iron bars of the death and is victorious. Death does not have dominion because the Bible says Christ arose. Amen. One day, a mother and her two children were in the park having a wonderful time. And they were enjoying the outdoors until a great old big bumblebee landed on little brother and then stung him. He began to cry and scream like any child would as the wound on his arm became swollen. The bee was still buzzing around, and his little sister was petrified. The mother comforted her, the little girl, her daughter, by saying, "Darling, wait a minute." As she was wiping brother's tears away, she said, "Look down here at your brother's arm." Right there, in the middle of that swelling, was the bumblebee's stinger. You see that, sweetheart? That bee can buzz and he can fight you, but he can't hurt you. You see, he can only sting once and he's left his stinger in your brother. While death is a decided factor, death also is a defeated foe. We are able to laugh this morning in the face of death. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, friend, death may buzz around you and frighten you, but our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, He took that sting of death away. And because He took that, it's just a sting, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And thank God that we are not perishing. Death may buzz around you to tell your friend that you are to be frightened, but your elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, He bears that sting. Jesus took the sting of death, and He was giving us a hope that is steadfast and sure. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? I'll tell you, friend, the grave can't hold Jesus, and it can't hold you. Amen. You say, "Well, Preacher Ronnie, I'm frightened." I mean, and you know, all of us are probably thinking this. I am 48 years old. We worshiped with her last Sunday. She's gone this Sunday. How could that be? Well, I'll tell you what. Sherry and I were talking about coming over here this morning. God don't make mistakes. It's appointed and a man wants to die. It's just hard for us to accept it sometimes. But God is in control. Amen. And the way I look at it, a lot of times, you know, I'm not God, so I don't know. But I look at it this way. He knows what the future holds for every one of us. Amen. And why would He take a little baby? I've had the sad privilege, and it wasn't much of a privilege, but I've done over a dozen baby funerals. I had a doctor in my last church. His wife gave birth to twins, and both died. And I've had infant death here, and that's one of the hardest things to understand. But I'll tell you what, I don't care what anybody says, and I don't mean to take your time with this, but this is where I stand against Calvinism. I stand against it because Calvinism teaches that there are those who are elected to be saved and those who are not. And I think about a little baby, and I find it very difficult in my mind to accept that that baby don't go to heaven, because that baby has never sinned. That baby has never even recognized what sin is. And you can't tell me, and I refuse to believe it, and I won't believe you. If you tell me, well, preacher, God elect some of those babies, and some of those babies he didn't. That's a bunch of baloney. I don't believe that. I tell you what I do believe, that my Lord overcame death. And you know what? I just believe with all my heart, I can't wait to get to heaven. Because you know what? There's a lot of people over there. And I know we have a hard time believing. Is there really a heaven? Well, there's just as much as a heaven as there is an empty cross. Because Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. That where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to be where he is. I'm going to follow the guy who knows where the golden egg is. And then last, our future. The future would be foolish. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all man most miserable. Without the resurrection, we're just poor, deluded fools. Of all people, most miserable. A wise man once said, if Jesus Christ is still in that grave, nothing really matters. But if Jesus Christ came out of the grave, nothing but that really matters. A hope steadfast and sure. Jesus Christ took the sting out of sin, the dread out of death, the gloom out of the grave. He gave us hope that is steadfast and sure. Preaching is profitable. Faith is feasible. The disciples are dependable. Sin has been subdued. Death has been defeated. And the future is fabulous for those who have been redeemed. So let's close this thing this morning in verse 20 by saying, but now is Christ risen from the dead. If Christ be not risen, we are all man most miserable, Paul says. Then I know he lives. I said, I know he lives. I'm going to tell you something. He tickles my innards. Yes, I know he lives. I've already had a spell before breakfast this morning. When you know that Christ Jesus lives, most mornings, and Sherry will tell you, I always have a spell before breakfast. I'm in the shower most mornings. And I'll tell you, I don't sing here and I don't sing in the choir, but I'm the best singer there is in the world in the shower. And I was singing this morning, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Hey, I don't know what you think about the future, but I can face the future because I know he lives. Amen. I'll tell you, I've got joy. Oh, I got something better than happiness. I'm glad. I said I'm glad. I've got joy. I've got love. I've got peace. I got faith. I've got the truth of God's word. God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Amen. He's not dead. I know that he lives. I said I know that he lives. I know that he lives. He makes me glad. He raises my spirits. I shout. I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm rejoicing this morning. The tomb is empty. Are y'all following me this morning? I know. You wait till 11 o'clock. Oh, I know. You wait till 11 o'clock. Oh, I saved the best of them. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? Who showed the moon where to hide till even? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All creation testifies. This life within me cries. I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit. He runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that holds me when I'm broken, they conquered death to bring me victory. Now I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives to take away my shame, and he lives, he lives forever. I'll proclaim that the payment for my sin was the precious life he gave, but now he's alive and there's an empty grave. Now I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Hey, I talked with him already this morning. He touched me. Oh, he touched me and he made me behold. Amazing grace is such a sweet sound because he lives to make it so sweet. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. He lives. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living. Whatever y'all might say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I'm not finished. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You asked me. I said, you asked me. How do I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Woo! Glory. I know we got to go to breakfast, but we all needed a spell. We do. Oh, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. I feel his love in my heart. Do you feel his love in your heart? We're going to give an invitation right now. I don't apologize for getting excited about a risen Savior. Amen. If Christ be not risen, the rock would still be over the tomb. He'd still be in the grave. But my Bible says the stone was rolled away. Amen. Not so that he could get out, but so we could look in. Amen? Amen. And there's no bones there. You want evidence? There's no bones. There, let's see. There ain't nothing in there. He got up from the ground. I witnessed it. You want to say, Preacher Ronnie, how do you know? I looked in there, and he ain't there, okay? He's not there. Oh, I read the scriptures, and many people witnessed his resurrection. Oh, they testified that he is risen. You say, well, how do you? Oh, you ought to hear the 11 o'clock sermon. He ate food. Oh, how can a spirit disciple? I'm going to get ahead of myself. But we're going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about the proof. I've titled that message, The Easter Presence. And God showed up on Easter. Amen. But there is something everybody needs to hear. And I know your tummy's hungry, but your heart's more hungry. Amen. I want you to take just a moment to worship the Lord. I've never heard this song. And we're not going to sing it, but one of the greatest singers in America is going to sing it. And I don't even know the title of the song, but I know this, that God loves you, and that's what he's going to sing about. Amen. Jesus loves you this morning. And you don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. You say, Preacher, I'm a member of this church. Well, that won't get you to heaven. But Preacher Ronnie, you're going to baptize me this morning. We got five or six going to be baptized. If you don't know Jesus, that water won't save you. Amen. It's only by the blood. For God, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's all stand. Everybody stand. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, and then we're going to give the invitation. If you're not sure, double sure, triple sure, you're saved, I'm going to invite you right now to accept Christ. All you got to do is do what that thief on the cross did. He looked to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. That teaches me salvation is totally a work of grace. So may God's grace right now abound in this place. We're going to pray. And I'm going to let you pray this prayer if you've never prayed to receive Christ. Bow your head. Pray it silently. We're not here to embarrass nobody. It's between you and God. And God knows your heart. He knows the intents of your heart. Just pray this prayer. Make it your prayer right now. Just pray it silently. Say, dear God, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for all my sin. I believe he rose from the grave that I might have life and have it everlasting. I know I've sinned, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all my sin, to come into my heart and save my soul. I'm not ashamed of you, Lord. Now help me to take a stand for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.